Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
1205 Supertalk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. Boy, do we have a lot to cover. You're not going to believe who is launching trial balloons regarding a possible presidential run. Eric Holder is now coming out. Former Obama Attorney General is saying that he may very well run in 2020. Lord God, please, Eric Holder, let you run for president for the Democrats in 2020. That'd be, I think, the only thing I would welcome more than a Hillary Clinton run in 2020 is an Eric Holder run in 2020. We'll go over some of the big Eric Holder controversies over the years, because I think it is worth noting that a lot of people on the left apparently kind of excited about a possible Eric Holder run. So we'll get into that as well. We do have in this hour a Unity update. College professor to black folks and other minorities, and this is a quote, "Let white people effing die." And of course, the Black Caucus has decided not to meet with President Trump, even though he said, folks, Black Caucus, come meet with us, please. But apparently, no, the Black Caucus will not meet with President Trump. And so I have, I think, three or four different stories of what I think I'm going to start calling the Unity Updates. And the reason I call them Unity Updates is because clearly the party that is constantly calling for unity, really, even though they're saying it in public, they really have absolutely no intention of any unity. And it is the president who, since literally day one, has been calling for unity. And literally since day one, the left has been saying, no, we're not going to have any kind of unification in this country. We are going to do anything and everything possible to derail your presidency. And the reaction to the new health care plans by the Republicans, it just came out about an hour and a half, two hours ago. They're calling it a discussion draft. Is when you look at the reaction from the likes of Charles Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and others, and by the way, I'm sure you know there's lots of Nancy Pelosi news to talk about, but when you look at what the left is saying about the Senate version of health care, you will know that it is the usual screaming meme stuff and reaction from the left. And so we'll get into all of this here on the program today. None other than Piers Morgan gets it. Now, I've been very critical, and I know a lot of you folks, especially you Second Amendment advocates, have been incredibly, let's just say, critical of Piers Morgan. But I'm going to tell you something. Piers Morgan gets it. And it's almost like I want to tell everybody, because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed in the headlines today, but the left, they're kind of eating themselves now, if you know what I mean. In other words, they're somewhat cannibalizing their own party. You've got a lot of folks that are saying, well, Nancy Pelosi's to blame for the fact that John Ossoff lost in the Georgia special election. Was it yesterday? You know, Tuesday, in the special Georgia election. They're blaming Nancy Pelosi. You've got other folks that are blaming the fact that there is no message within the party of the left. But I will tell you this. The more that they try and focus in on their own problems, the more I'm realizing that they still don't understand that the problem is their message. Their problem is their vision. And their problem also is, well, pretty much defined by Piers Morgan. Now, the reason why I'm going to talk a bit about what Piers Morgan has to say is because, one, I think it's coming from a guy who I don't know if I would call him left or right. He's been critical of both parties. I'm not a huge fan of his, but he makes a lot of valid points here. And the bigger thing is that almost everything, I think in literally everything that Piers Morgan says that is wrong with the left are things that I've talked about, I don't want to say ad nauseum, but I've talked about quite a bit. Here are the 10 suggestions from Piers Morgan as to how the left, they need to sort their S word out. Number one, and I've been saying this for a long time, dump Hillary. Now, the reason why, and I'm just going to read his headlines, and then I'm going to go into my own reasoning as to why Piers Morgan is right. You can find this online. But one of the reasons why I think the Democrats need to dump Hillary, and listen, here's what we know about the left, and here's what we know about the Democrats, is that, again, as they do more and more autopsies on all of their various losses in all of these various elections and special elections and so forth, It seems like the farther away they get from what they really need to do, which is focus on their message and focus on jobs and focus on the economy. And it seems like everybody gets that except party leadership, except Nancy Pelosi and except Charles Schumer. So we'll have to see what happens with the left. But yes, dump Hillary. Now, I say the reason why they need to dump Hillary, the left needs to dump Hillary, is because of the fact that she is clearly a damaged candidate. She is clearly a damaged politician, both she and Bill Clinton. But you know what the problem is? The problem with the left is that they are slave to the donors. As a matter of fact, here's what we know. I've said this a number of different times. One of the reasons I think why Hillary lost the election of 2016 is because she spent far too much time with the rich and famous looking for donations as opposed to out on the campaign trail in places where it mattered. Places like Pennsylvania, places like Wisconsin, places like Michigan. And so I think it was the thirst for the almighty dollar is one of the reasons why the Democrats lost. Let's also understand that as Hillary continues with this excuse tour that she's been on, I keep calling it the Please Go Back to the Woods tour. Basically, the more excuses that she makes, the worse it looks for the Democrats. But that's okay by me. Number two, stop abusing Donald Trump. Now, this is something that I think a lot of us understand. Anybody who has been paying attention to not only the campaign of 2016, but also in the special elections, and certainly the latest one in Georgia, is they made it all about President Trump. They made it all about some sort of a referendum against President Trump. And guess what we know? We know that that failed epically. Not only do we know that it failed epically, but when you look at the fact that so much money was spent on this particular race in Georgia, you had not only all of those donations, you also had all of Hollywood come out. I mean, it was like you had Samuel L. Jackson cutting commercials. You had a number. You had Whoopi Goldberg. You had all these different folks coming out and talking about John Ossoff. And the truth of the matter is, it did not help. And if you think about it, this whole special election in Georgia is a microcosm of what we saw in the general election. Because in the general election, there was a boatload of money raised by the Democrats and by the left who support Hillary Clinton. And in Georgia, there was a whole bunch of money that was raised by the liberals and by the Democrats, mainly outside of Georgia from places like California and New York. And Hollywood came out for the left. And John Ossoff. And what happened? Well, just like we saw in the general election, in the special election in Georgia, guess what happened? They lost. And the reason why they lost is because of messages like this. You remember, this is Samuel L. Jackson, and this was a commercial I played for you a long time ago.
Stop Donald Trump, the man who encourages racial and religious discrimination and sexism. Remember what happened the last time people stayed home?
Yeah, you got your you-know-what handed to you.
We got stuck with Trump.
Well, you didn't get stuck with Trump. The American people voted for Donald Trump because they did not like messages like this, Samuel L. Jackson.
We have to channel the great vengeance and furious anger we have for this administration into votes at the ballot box.
You know, it's interesting. He talks about furious vengeance and anger. First of all, can I just say this? I thought Samuel L. Jackson, I mean, this is Mace Windu we're talking about. He just doesn't read this like he's a good actor. It sounds like he's just going through the motions. It's like he's checking the Hollywood liberal box. But I digress. It is this kind of a message that is dooming the Democrats. It is this kind of message that is dooming the left. And there was a lot made, if you remember, of this commercial back when it was aired. And this was a commercial during the primary vote there in Georgia, where there was like 17 people that were involved in the primary and just a few of them were Democrats, and yet all of these Republicans. And so John Ossoff, eventually, he wasn't able to get to whatever it was, 50, 51%, 52% of the vote, whatever it was. And so that meant that they had to go through the primary and then they had to have the runoff election there in Georgia. But yeah, this is exactly what Piers Morgan and myself have been talking about all this time. Stop abusing Trump. because it's not working.
Do your friends and family a favor. Hell, do yourself a favor and vote on April 18th and make sure to vote for the Democratic Party.
Mm. Paid for by the DCCC.
Paid for by the DCCC, whatever it was. Clearly, there were millions and millions of dollars raised in Georgia. I'm going to go over this again, but millions of dollars raised in Georgia. And clearly now, we've seen that they wasted their money on Hillary and also on John Ossoff and these other places. Here's the other thing about that. You know, somewhere buried in my stack of stuff, I've got a story about how, or maybe it was just a headline I saw. Bell, if you could find for me, if you want to Google this, please. If I remember correctly, I saw that for the Democrats, their donors are donating at all-time lows. So if you could find that for me, that'd be very much appreciated, because I believe that what's happening is the left and certainly Hollywood and all of these donors, with the exception, I'm assuming, of George Soros, they're getting tired of wasting their money because they donated millions of dollars and look what they have. They've got Donald Trump as their president of the United States, regardless as to whether or not they claim him as their president. And they've also lost this election in Georgia and four other special elections since the main election. So clearly, abusing the president and abusing, as you stretch that out a little bit, you also got to think of the fact that when Samuel L. Jackson and when the Democrats come out and talk about how President Trump is sexist and misogynist and racist and all these other things, by extension, they're talking about me and you. They're talking about us. They're talking about conservatives. So basically, without even saying, I would say to Samuel L. Jackson, and without saying to the left, well, when you say all these things about President Trump, basically what you're doing is you're calling conservatives deplorables, are you not? It's just another way to say it. But clearly, when it comes to the abuse of President Trump and conservatives and freedom of speech, and I could stretch this out even further and say, let's also perhaps also redefine the term abuse, as also you could talk about the fact that they're constantly throwing investigation after investigation on the Trump administration. I could say that's also a form of abuse. Number three, find a leader. Mm-hmm. Now, let's not forget the reason why, and you remember this, the reason why Nancy Pelosi is still the head of the Democrats in the House is because, and I forget the guy's name, was it Tim Ryan, I think, the guy in Ohio who was trying to unseat Nancy Pelosi as the guy who was to lead the Democrats. He was trying to unseat Nancy Pelosi there right after the general election. And the reason why they decided to stick with Nancy Pelosi is because she is a astronomical fundraiser. So you think about the funds, right? Where did the funds, just follow the bouncing ball, folks, where did the funds come from California for the John Ossoff train wreck for the Democrats in Georgia? The money came from California. Who is it that raised a lot of that money? Well, Nancy Pelosi. So it's almost like golden handcuffs. You ever hear that term, golden handcuffs? Golden handcuffs is basically you are stuck in a situation where maybe you just hate it. You know, I've heard this described as far as jobs go. You may hate your job, but you love the paycheck. Well, it's the same thing with the Democrats. They love the donations that Nancy Pelosi is able to bring in. However, they don't like the baggage or the damage to their brand that Nancy Pelosi brings. So the Democrats do need to find a leader. They do need to figure out who it is that is their next voice, because it's not Nancy Pelosi. It's sure as heck not Hillary Clinton. I don't know about Charles Schumer. I don't like the guy. Perhaps Democrats do. Is it Michael Moore? Who is it? Is it Mace Windu? Is it Samuel L. Jackson? Who is it? One of the other things that they say, that Piers Morgan says, is that the Democrats need to get positive. You know, what's interesting is, think about this. Do you remember the term dystopian? Do you remember when then candidate Trump, soon to be President Trump, I think it was right after the Republican National Convention, and everyone in the media, everyone on the left, the Democrats, you name it, they kept throwing around this term dystopian. And I think even Hillary said at one point, do you remember? She said something like, well, where is this dark dystopian world of the Republicans? And Hillary was trying to talk about how everything was coming up roses in America. And the president was talking about the things that, as it turned out, Americans really voted on, which was terrorism, jobs, and any number of other topics that we talked about every single day here on the Dan Mandis program and in talk radio, generally speaking. We talked about borders. We talked about vetting refugees. And I always thought it was interesting because one of the things that I said at the time was, well, President Trump was being realistic as far as the concerns that Americans had. And when Hillary Clinton, of all people, says, well, where is this dark dystopian world of the Republicans? I raised up my hand and I said, well, it's certainly not in the world, Hillary, where you live in or where the Democrats live in or where Hollywood lives in or where the media lives in. No. Well, now the shoe is on the other foot, right? So the president is trying to do everything that he needs to do to try and repeal and replace Obamacare. We will get into that because the Senate has come out now with their discussion draft on health care legislation. And the president is trying to do a number of different things. And every time he turns around and every time we turn around, we do indeed have the likes of the left and Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer and all these other folks, all these dire warnings of people are going to die. We're throwing grandma off a cliff. Small children are going to be starved if we do this to health care, for example. Forgetting about the fact that, well, it is the left that is pro-choice and in favor of aborting babies. Moving on. The other thing that they're saying, that Piers Morgan is saying, is that Democrats need to, wait for it, be inclusive. Now, think about this. One of the things that I think is a hallmark for Democrats is the fact that they are incredibly, when I say incredibly, I mean very much not necessarily inclusive. They're not embracing of diversity, even though they are the ones that are always screaming about diversity. But we also know that they are not about diversity, not in any way, shape, or form. I think that, frankly, that's one of the reasons why Hillary did not go to those three states that I just mentioned. You got Michigan, Wisconsin. The reason why she didn't go to those states is because, one, she thought that she had those states wrapped up. But also, there's a part of me that feels like she just didn't feel the need to go there because those were almost like the great unwashed. They're the Rust Belt states. President Trump, not only did he go there, but he spoke directly to those people. And I think that was incredibly smart of President Trump. And obviously, that was a train wreck for the Democrats. Get out into the heartland. It's another thing. You know, you talk about the New York and L.A. bubble. That's certainly something that, for me anyway, is a recurring theme. Get out of your safe space. What is the safe space for Nancy Pelosi? What is the safe space for Hillary? What is a safe space for a lot of these folks on the left? Well, it's within their own little bubble, within Hollywood, for example, within their cocktail parties in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and the like. And do they come out to the heartland or do they just fly over it as they're going from fundraiser to fundraiser? So that's another problem that the left has. Now, listen. I know for a fact that I don't necessarily have a whole lot of people who listen to me that are on the left. So this isn't exactly what I would call a really strategic thinking in the sense that to me, all this is obvious. Because I have the uncanny ability to be able to read emails while I'm on the air. And so as I'm reading my emails, I'm seeing people telling me, stop, don't tell them. We all know what the problem is, but don't let them know. Listen, I understand that. I really do. But this is easy to figure out. I mean, certainly if a knucklehead like Piers Morgan and myself have been talking about this for a long time, well, then certainly they know. The question is, do they have the ability to pull all of this off? Another one, stand for something and mean it. Well, for the Democrats, we know that they're awfully squishy. We also know that they don't always necessarily know where they stand on any given issue. You know, you look at President Trump, for example. You know exactly where he stands on most issues. And as I've said, he's the Twitter message president. And he was the Twitter message candidate. A guy that could say more in 140 characters than Hillary Clinton could say in a two-hour campaign speech. We know that. You'd sit there and listen to Hillary Clinton, and it's like, you know, as you're, you know, quasi-comatose, my God, just stop talking because I don't know what it is that she's saying. Meantime, President Trump, like a sledgehammer, beats you down with tweet after tweet after tweet, knowing exactly what he means. And that's the problem with the Democrats. Another one, tell your celebrity fans to shut the heck up. I think I've already talked about that with Mace Windu, Samuel L. Jackson. Another one, do deals with Republicans. Yeah, absolutely. Do deals with Republicans. Work with the Republicans. Now, on the other side of the coin, then the question has to be asked, well, okay, so if you're recommending that the Democrats do deals with the Republicans, well, does that mean that the Republicans have to do deals with the Democrats? That's a whole nother conversation, which we've talked about before. And finally, learn to win again. And the bottom line on that is, you know, it takes more than money, it takes more than Hollywood, it takes more than collusion with the mainstream media to win elections. It does take a message. It does take some sympathy and some empathy for the people who are really going through tough times in this country and really going through situations where they are literally scared of what's happening here in America. They are scared of terrorism. They're scared of what's coming across the southern border. They're scared they're going to lose their jobs. They're scared that their kids are going to go off to college and come out of college and not be able to get a job, yet be mired down in college debt. They're scared of the fact that welfare benefits are out of control. They're scared about a lot of different things. And I think that what the Democrats have to learn is that even if you are worried about all of those things, that doesn't make you a racist, that doesn't make you a sexist, that doesn't make you a misogynist, that doesn't make you somebody who is just a bad person. But that's what the left does. And so if they're going to learn how to win again, they need to do all of those things that I just mentioned. And by the way, I think the Republicans, for the most part, have already mastered most of this, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing, which is a majority in the Senate, a majority in the House of Representatives, in the White House, and what, four or five different special elections that have all gone to the R. 1227 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show. 1238 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Is that how I did that? Right there, the beats, WTN, whatever. I thought it was cool. What's it take to get a compliment around here? Pamela's not even here to insult me today. What's up with that? Anyway, so a number of things going on. And as I said, so big news regarding President Trump, big news regarding James Comey, and big news about the tapes. And apparently now President Trump saying he has no tapes of these conversations between himself and James Comey. You know what's amazing about President Trump? You know, I'm going to sound like I'm really on the bandwagon for Trump, but what I really like about the president is the fact that he has controlled the narrative of this whole James Comey testimony and all this other stuff by dangling this whole, well, I wonder if there's any tapes available. And James Comey tweeting out, you remember this, James Comey better hope there's no tapes of our conversations. And so then you have the intelligence community, you have the media, you have everybody questioning whether or not there are tapes of the conversation. Well, now apparently the president coming out, as I said, and saying that there are no tapes of the James Comey, President Trump discussion. So unfortunately, and see, the reason why I say unfortunately is because I don't think the president did anything wrong, and I don't want to rehash the whole James Comey thing, but to be honest, I wish there were tapes, because I think that what it would do is it would prove that President Trump was in the right here and James Comey was absolutely in the wrong. But that's all beside the point. Now, as you know, there's a lot of folks that are scrambling for, I think, hasn't there been some of these various committees in both the House and the Senate are now asking for the memos that James Comey wrote as it relates to this obstruction of justice charge that a lot of folks on the left are saying that President Trump did against James Comey and trying to thwart the Michael Flynn investigation. Blah, 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 blah. Is it just me or are you? I don't know about you, man, but I'm just getting sick of all this. And so is the American people, it would appear. Because now a lot of folks on the left, and I just got done in the first segment talking about Piers Morgan and also Samuel L. Jackson. Apparently, one of the things that I said during the monologue there in the first hour, in the first segment, was Samuel L. Jackson vengeance or something like that. I played the audio for you, and I apparently made fun of the line. Apparently, I guess that's a line from the movie Pulp Fiction. I never said that's just way too violent for me. Pulp Fiction was like way too violent. It really was.
I quit.
Do you quit? I'm just saying, it was very violent. Also, the movie, was it California with a K? What was that other movie with Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis? I can't remember what movie that was, but way too violent.
Californication?
Well. Californication, that's exactly right. Also, wait, you know, that's the only movie. What year was that, Bell? Californication. I can't remember now, but.
I can't remember either.
But I was, that's the only movie, I'll just say it this way. That's the only movie in my life. And I'm a big moviegoer, that I actually walked out of the movie and demanded my money back. I kid you not. See, I abhor violent movies. I don't know why, but I do. And so I went into that movie and I thought, oh, I'm just going to sit here and watch a movie and, you know, so on and so forth. And I didn't realize how violent it was. And I got so angry. I walked out and I said, I want to see the manager. So the manager comes out and I'm, said, yeah, I need my money back. This is a horrible, I've never done that before. I will sit through the most god-awful movie just because I'm eating popcorn and drinking a cherry icy. What was I talking about? Yes, so we have, that's right, violent movies, and we're moving on from there. So a lot of folks now on the left are saying that the all of these investigations are being, did we figure out what year was the Californication?
No, I'm sorry. I was busy talking to Senator Beavers, and she'll be calling in tomorrow at 12:35.
Oh, very cool. May Beavers is calling in at 12. Was that her that called your cell phone?
Yes.
She called your cell phone.
Of course. We're buds.
Wow. Now you have May Beavers' cell phone.
I got it.
All right. Very good.
We're tight. We're like this.
Tell her I said hey, and I'll talk to her tomorrow at 12:35. Going to talk, obviously, about the whole move to make Nashville a... from Music City to Sanctuary City is what I've been talking about. And May Beavers has come out, and I'm assuming she's against it. I'm reasonably certain that she is against it, although I have not read her official position. And by the way, tomorrow at 7:05, this is huge because Ralph, Uncle Ralph, is going to have Sheriff Darren Hall on to talk about this whole move to make Nashville a sanctuary city. And that's going to be a huge interview because, and you know, if you've been listening to me the last couple of days, you've also been listening to Ralph the last couple of days as well. The sheriff is actually against what Metro Council wants to do. And so ultimately what it's doing is it is setting up a showdown, really, between the sheriff's office in Davidson County in Nashville and also Metro Council. So it's going to be pretty big day tomorrow here on the radio station, 7:05. Ralph is going to have the sheriff on, and then at 12:35, I will have May Beavers on, who is, of course, as we all know, running for governor, and looking forward to both of those interviews here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. So the big question is, as I desperately try to get back on topic here, is all of these Russian investigation and all of these Russia-related investigations, are they actually a distraction for the Democrats? See, I think it is. And one of the reasons why, and I don't know why I've spent the entire first hour of the program now talking about my hatred of really violent movies and also my good friend May Beavers joining me at 12:35, but all of this advice that for whatever reason I'm giving the Democrats. But we know that they don't listen to themselves nor conservatives, and so it's fine. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut telling MSNBC viewers on Wednesday's Morning Joe that his party should moderate its full court press on the distraction of Donald Trump's alleged ties to Russia, since clearly voters in Tuesday's special elections did not seem to be swayed by it. What have I been telling you all along here, folks? Whether it's Russia and collusion and all of this other stuff, or whether it's all of this stuff that the Democrats were hurling at conservatives during the general election regarding racism, misogyny, sexism, all that stuff. The American people are worried about putting food on the table. The American people are worried about all of the different things that we talk about all the time. And what's interesting is this. I've seen a couple of different polls, and I may have mentioned this yesterday. I've seen a couple of different polls, and some of the polls will say, I think it was an AP poll, that showed that the American people seem to agree from, like, whatever it was, 61%, 65%, whatever it was. They all seem to agree that perhaps President Trump's campaign did have some sort of collusion with the Russians, and they also believe that perhaps there is some sort of President Trump trying to, you know, get James Comey, not James Comey, try and get James Comey to stop the investigation into Michael Flynn. So it seems to me like the American people are almost willing to say, yes, all of those things happened, and so what? Because we got terrorism going on. We still have violence in the streets in the inner city. We still have all kinds of real world and real life problems going on here in America. And so whether or not the president did try and convince James Comey to drop that investigation into Michael Flynn, or whether or not some folks there within the Trump campaign did collude with the Russians, American people, man, we just don't care. And I think we've seen that time and time again. In fact, there's this guy in the Washington Post. His name is Robert Costa. And this is a guy who has been covering politics inside and outside the Beltway for a long time. And what he said is that Russia is an inside the Beltway issue that flies over the heads of ordinary Americans. Now, I would say that that particular comment about how the issue, quote unquote, flies over the heads of ordinary Americans, that almost sounds like he's insulting ordinary Americans, like we're too stupid to understand. Which I don't necessarily like the way that he put it. However, I think that the majority of Americans don't care about the issue enough to really delve deeply into the issue. He says the Russia issue, again, this is in the Washington Post, folks, the Russia issue and President Trump's handling of these investigations, the special counsel. He says, when I'm in Washington, that's a consuming issue for the Democrats. It alarms even some Republicans. But then he says, on the ground in Georgia, moderate suburban Republicans, they're not talking about Russia. He says, I just don't see Russia breaking through yet with Republican voters as an issue that's going to turn them to the left. See, what he's basically saying is that all of this hysteria related to Russia and collusion and all these other things, it is just it's clearly a partisan issue. But also, this isn't the kind of storyline that is going to move a moderate Republican to vote for a non-Republican. I think that's clearly evident. And I think part of the problem is that when you see headlines, which I'll get to this story in probably the next hour, where the Black Caucus there, I think for the House of Representatives, they're saying that they refuse to meet with President Trump. I guess the question is this. Which headline is more damaging? Right? That President Trump supposedly, with, by the way, very little evidence so far, if any, about this whole collusion thing. The president colluding with the Russians, or his campaign colluding with the Russians, or that the fact that the party of diversity and acceptance, which is the left, is refusing to meet with the president of the United States. You compare those two headlines, friends, and think about it. Which one here in America is going to be more polarizing for the right? Well, that's going to be the fact that the Black Caucus decided not to meet with the president of the United States. That is going to polarize the right for President Trump than any of these Russian collusion investigations and so forth. So the guy in the Washington Post, again, Robert Costa, talks about how, yeah, this is just not a thing. It's almost like he's saying, quit trying to make Russia happen. It's just like Hillary Clinton. Quit trying to make racism, sexism, and misogyny happen, because it's not happening. So this guy, Chris Murphy, the senator out of Connecticut, in this interview on Morning Joe, it talks about how the flailing Democrats can only gain ground if they focus on drawing economic distinctions between their message and Republicans. I mean, let's face it. The economy is doing pretty good. And so because the economy is doing good, then the Democrats have nothing to say except scream about Russia and scream about the Russians and tax returns and all these other things. Because they can't really talk about the economy, can they? The economy's doing good. You got a lot of folks that are confident now in what the president wants to do. Say, for example, tax reforms and all these other things. Not if they'd ever let him do it. But because it's all about scandal inside the Beltway, because it's all about scandal inside of the mainstream media and CNN, it's all about scandal. It's easier for them to talk about scandal than it is to talk about the fact that after, you know, many, many, many years of failed economic policy from President Obama, the economy is doing pretty darn good now. It's a lot easier to talk about scandal than it is to talk about the fact that Obamacare is spiraling out of control. Right? So this guy Costa, he's right on the money. He says Democrats have to be hyper-focused on an economic message that tells people that the Republican Party is all about economic growth for millionaires and billionaires, and the Democratic Party is about economic growth for everybody. Now, I'll say that. Isn't that what Hillary did initially? Yeah, it is. Look where it got her. And it's the same thing with some of these other special elections as well. And so we'll talk about this, you know, throughout the program today and the rest of the week, because I think that what's happening is the Republicans are doing what I think pretty much everything is spot on, says the conservative. And I think everything that the Democrats are doing is not spot on. And as a matter of fact, they're hurting themselves. 1252, and that's okay by me. 1252, Super Talk 99.7, WTN. 1257 Super Talk 99.7 WTN Dan Mandis Show. Lena writes on Twitter, "Hey, at Dan Mandis Show. So, did you get your money back on that movie?" Yes, I did get my money back on that movie, and it was, as I said, the one and only time I've ever just gone bad crap crazy on a movie for being too violent. And I know, if Pamela was here, she would make fun of me. I'll go ahead and make fun of myself. Knock yourself out. You can send me an email, dan@997wtn.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Dan Mandis Show. Facebook as well, at Dan Mandis Show. By the way, put a new profile picture of me up on Facebook if you'd like to see it. It's me holding that ill-fated bourbon right before I drank the bourbon and then had to spit it out in the...
Stop telling people that?
Really, I should probably stop. It's not something to be proud of. Or maybe it is. It's coming up on 1 o'clock here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.